Well, good evening. You're here. You got the memo. Welcome. Merry Christmas to all of you. Were you rushed tonight? Some of you? Is that a nervous laugh? Notice the back of your program. The title of the message is on there, The First Christmas Rush. Some of you were rushed. You know, had a radar gun as you were pulling in the parking lot. Who in here? There's three vehicles. Who's driving the Ford? There was a Chevy and there was a Dodge. Oh, yeah. You were rushed. And we say each year, not this year. Not this year. I'm not going to be rushed. I'm going to just take in this season of celebrating Christ and going to slow down. I'm going to exhale. You know that verse, very first Christmas, where God wanted to change the world, where he wanted to change you and me, he worked in and through some people in this world and some who are not of this world to accomplish his purpose. And these folks, compelled by him, some of them very knowingly and others not, had to get out of their comfort zone to serve his purpose and his plan to change us. And tonight, maybe we've forgotten about that. And I hope in this hour, we can exhale. And we can just breathe in a little bit and say, that's the reason for Christmas. To stop and to take a look and to wonder and be in awe of who this Jesus is. At Open Arms, we've been walking through verse by verse the Gospel of Luke. Started earlier this month, and we just happened to be in chapter 2 tonight, beginning in verse 1. Is that a coincidence? It's like we planned it. Amazing. Brilliant. I'm going to read the text. You're more than happy to, or welcome to follow along in your Bible if you have it tonight. Just pay attention. This is one of the most famous texts at this season. Many plays, many skits cover the details of what was happening here in our text tonight. And I'm going to come back, maybe bring out a few things that we may have missed about God's plan for you and for me, and how it began with others whom he chose to be a part of it. Beginning in Luke 2, verse 1. In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Well, the first thing I'd like for us to see, and if you want to fill this in the program, the back of the program, you're more than welcome to do that. God's sovereign rule was on full display in the decisions of others. There was a Caesar, the greatest Caesar, who accomplished the most of all the other Caesars, who had made a decree. And it certainly looked like he was in charge. But was there someone else ruling? You and I can get all wrapped up and get emotional and get thrown off because of the decisions made by those who are ruling in some area of our life. And we can say, this is devastating. This is horrible. Who put that boss over me? Who made that one leader of this state or this country or this region? And just feel like it's the end. But do you know God can work in all of that to accomplish his purpose? Notice with me in verse 1. So in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The whole Roman Empire of which he was over. He was deciding, well, another tax for Rome. We need some more cash. Bring in the cash. Let's go to all of these other towns, all of these other cities, all of these other nations that we have conquered and oversee, and we're going to have them go to their hometown, make sure we take a census, and we're going to tax them. And there we see in verse 4, Joseph. He went up from Galilee, from his town, Nazareth, to go to the city, the town of his lineage. You see, he was from David, King David's lineage. And so he would go to Judea. That would be the southern part of Israel. And he ascended there to that area, and he brought somebody with him. A young woman. Her name? What was your name? Oh, come on. Who's napping already? What was your name? Mary. Good job. And so took Mary, and we noticed he was betrothed to her and weren't married yet. But you know, their courting time and ours are quite different. There in that region, in Israel, when you were engaged, you were legally pledged to the one you were engaged to. The only way you could get out of that legality was through a divorce. And we see in Matthew 1 where Mary at some point came up to Joseph, and this was after the angel Gabriel had appeared to her and said, the Holy Spirit of God is going to come upon you, and you're going to become pregnant with the Messiah, with the Savior. We looked at that a few weeks ago when we were in awe of that. Could you imagine Joseph? The love of his life, Mary. And she was pure and she was righteous, and so was he. He had had no relations with her. Joseph, can we, it's date night, can we go to our favorite place? I got something to tell you. I'm pregnant. But it's not what you think. An angel appeared to me, and Almighty God has impregnated me with the Messiah. God's going to become a human being, and I'm going to carry him to give birth. I don't know what Joseph's response was, but the scripture tells us he was a just man, a righteous man. He was grieved by this, and he was about to put her away with a divorce silently, not to bring shame upon her. But then God showed up to him through an angel in a dream and said, she's right, and you're to name him Jesus, for he will take sin away from his people. And so Joseph is totally on board. And when he hears about this census, and he understands what's about to take place, Mary, should you go or not? Could you imagine them not being married yet? Because him wanting to give no false pretense that he's had relations with her. But the gossip, the jeers, the slander, he wasn't going to leave her home. And he took her. So late in the pregnancy? Or could it be that this young couple was so familiar with the Word of God, they knew the prophecy of Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that, oh, you, Bethlehem, you little town, little city that no one could even hardly know your existence, that from you would come the ruler, a king, a leader out of you, and he would reign forever. We don't know. We don't know. But Joseph, he went to register to follow the laws of the land, and he took Mary with him. And she was with child. And then notice this. As innocuous as could be, she didn't have her Facebook page set up. There was no Instagram. There was no marketing rep. Notice what Luke says. He just says, and while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth. I mean, it was, you know, the angels, they weren't there singing and praising. They were someplace else. We'll get to them in a second. I mean, it was quiet. It was filthy dirty. It was smelly. It was crowded. It may have been the deadline, and that's why Joseph, maybe saying, Mary, you gonna have the baby yet? Mary, you gonna have that baby yet? Come on, girl, come on, come on. It doesn't work that way, Joseph. I've tried. But then all of a sudden, time came. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, which every Jewish woman would do to warm the baby's limbs, to make them straight. But we notice that she laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. So they didn't have family, though his background, at some point he had family. Maybe they moved out of Bethlehem, like his family at some point had moved out of Bethlehem. There was no place for them to stay. This inn could have been, or it wasn't an inn, where they stayed and where the manger was a feeding trough, literally, where animals ate. So did they take that food out, or was it hay, and that's where they laid Jesus? Was it a cave? Was it a barn? It was more than just, you know, slats of wood, like we see in some manger scenes. And that's where the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Almighty God, in an impoverished scene, not in a palace, not wrapped up in a robe, a royal purple robe, no, not with midwives and the best of nurses, no. In this scene, he's born. We notice too, this was the firstborn of Mary's sons. Scripture would tell us that he had brothers. He had sisters. Matthew 13, verse 55 and 56 names his four brothers. Joseph and Mary had other children after Jesus. Of Joseph would be the adoptive or stepfather. And he had sisters, we're told in the scripture as well. So it was her firstborn. Secondly, there was no one else attending. It seemed to be it was just those two in that situation. How difficult, how challenging. Joseph, step up. You've got to help out here. And now notice, as we move to the next verse, verse 8, number 2 in your outline, who else was compelled? So we have Caesar being compelled, this ruler like the world hadn't seen over this empire, and yet God is working in and through his decisions to accomplish a much greater plan, much more than what Caesar Augustus had. And here's Mary and Joseph, young, poor, obeying God, doing exactly what they were told to do, following the government officials and obedience to what Micah the prophet had said so many years ago, that this one would be born in Bethlehem. And now we notice some others, heavenly beings, being compelled out of their place of comfort to also serve a purpose. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. These were hardworking men's men. These were guys who were not often permitted into the temple because they were always considered unclean ceremoniously. Now, the lambs they tended to, they were brought to the temple all the time to offer as sacrifices. But notice, God didn't appear to the religious leaders through this angel. He appeared to down-to-earth guys who the rest of society would consider downcast, dirty, filthy. Don't associate until we need some meat, until we need some wool. But that's whom the angel appeared to. Could it be that God chose these shepherds because there were a couple of great men in the history of Israel, Moses being one, David being another, who was a shepherd? Or could it be that Jesus himself in John 10, and the many names he ascribed to himself, he said, I'm the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. You see, these guys knew there's a heavenly being who has just shown up. And they were acutely aware of their sin. So the great fear came over them. Uh-oh, are they here to take me out? Is this angel here to take us out? And then all of a sudden, the glory of the Lord showed up. We're talking a light show like you wouldn't believe. My kids have discovered this television program, Light Wars. It's about Christmas decorations and just over the top, like over the top, over the top. And what showed up that night compares nothing to that. The glory of the Lord. You know, Peter and John, James later would be in the midst of that and would be like, whoa, the transfiguration. The glory of the Lord was around these guys. Lit up that night sky in that field. But here's the message. The angel said, fear not. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. I don't know what your lineage is, your ethnicity, your background, but this message is for each of us here tonight. For unto you, very personal, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ, meaning the Messiah, the Lord, meaning God. God became flesh. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. That's normal. But lying in a manger, not so normal. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Thousands showed up. And they just, guys, you were awesome. But that was nothing. I mean, some of you say, oh, they sound like angels. But these angels, from what they had experienced from the moment of their creation in the presence of God, knowing God, knowing the Son, knowing the Spirit and seeing the Son incarnated to become a human being and going, this is what the prophets have written about. This is what God has talked about. It's happening. It's happening. And they just let out with this chorus, with this symphony. We see number three in your outlines. These shepherds, they themselves sought to verify what they had heard. They themselves felt compelled. Get out of the field. We need to go check this out. Notice what they said. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which who told us? The Lord. See, they knew that an angel is simply a messenger sent by God. An angel has no power, does not say anything, do anything, except that which is instructed directly by God. Not by me, not by you, not by our prayers, but messengers of God. And they knew that. These men of the field. And they said, God has revealed something to us. Let's go and check it out. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph. You see, that's a Christmas rush. Let's go. Let's go. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. See, these guys weren't the kind to be taken away by emotion. I mean, the kind of work they did and conversations they had, they just said, fellas, could this be true? Is this something? And they went to check it out. And as they were looking, they knew what to look for, a baby in a manger. And as we look at these last few verses, for you and I pray we can exhale a little bit. Step back a little bit. And like them, do what they do. Do what they did. And I hope you can. Because notice the first thing. They professed him. They professed what they knew. And that peace, peace from God was coming through the Messiah. Verse 17, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. So there's Mary, there's Joseph. They told them, but then they couldn't contain themselves. They told others, because it says, and all of them, all wondered. All were in a way of fear and awe. What? What's going on here? Are you able to profess Christ because you know him personally? Not just the story of his miraculous birth, of what might bring us here tonight to celebrate and to remember, but personally, this one born of a human being says, I want to come alive in you and to make you born from above. Yes, I've given you physical birth, but oh, how I desire to give you spiritual birth. And that's from above by my Spirit. Do you know him that way? Then profess him to others of your personal experience of the gospel in your life and watch and see, because that's how it happens. How can they believe in the one in whom they've not heard? How can they hear without someone telling them? How can someone tell them if they are not sent to go? And that is those in this room who have heard because somebody shared. And you went and examined for yourself the word of God, the truth of God. You saw it on black and white, and the Spirit of God made that come alive inside of you. And by faith alone, by believing that is this is not a myth, he is not a myth, that he is God incarnate, come to be, what? The Savior. And this news is for all of us. Life happened, eternal life, spiritual life happened in your life. And God says, you have a story to tell. Profess him. Secondly, ponder him. Notice this. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Could you imagine? So God showed up to her through an angel. God showed up to Joseph in a dream through an angel. So they got this story. Who's believing them? I don't know, but probably not many people. And all of a sudden, these shepherds come and they can't contain themselves. They begin to tell what they were just told by a multitude, a myriad, a host of angels about the one whom is lying in that manger in such a desperate state. Do you know, young maiden? That is Christ the Lord. Oh, yeah, I know. She pondered layer after layer after layer. I want to encourage you, Christian, whether it's tonight or tomorrow, Christmas Day, would you just exhale and ponder the layers of Christ in your life and who he is and what he has done? And again, be in awe and be in wonder that God did that, came that way for you to have life, new life, everlasting life. And then, number three, we can praise him just as they did. Notice, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. They headed back to life, back to the fields, back to the smelly sheep. But they were changed. They were different as they went. They shared this good news with anybody who they came across. May we, as we head back, maybe later this week, to our jobs, certainly, to homes, students, to our schools, to our hobbies, our families, friends, can we be a people who profess a personal testimony of this Savior? To ponder and reflect again the depth of Jesus Christ, the Lord, and then to praise him. This is one thing you know and I know. People are going through something all the time. How many of us in this room, you find yourself here tonight, but there's been a struggle. There has been a burden. There has been something tragic or even devastating in your life. But you're here. God wants you to know. In the midst of your woe, in the midst of your sorrow, in the midst of how big this burden feels to you, I came over 2,000 years ago to meet your greatest need. More than just to rescue you from the burden that you're carrying, the tragedy that's befallen you, I've come to pay the penalty of your guilt and of your shame for your offense, for your sin of rebellion against me. That's why I came. That's your greatest need. And when by faith you turn to the Savior and trust in him personally, Jesus Christ the Lord, and you remember the crucifixion and the resurrection, God says, then, now that that's been tackled, now that you have been cleansed because of what my son has done, oh, how I can give you strength and hope and perspective in whatever else befalls you in life. You will not walk through that alone. I am more than just a babe in a manger. I am your shepherd who wants to lead you foot by foot, mile by mile, and all of that life has for you. God has a plan and purpose, and it begins with his love for you and I, and that is Christmas. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the one that we celebrate, and why we celebrate his birth is because it leads to a perfect life. He needed to be a perfect life because he needed to be the perfect sacrifice, an atonement, a substitute. For me, a great sinner. For folks in this room who would admit it or not, great offenders of you. But it was your love that compelled you to come. And Jesus, you willingly came. And that's Christmas. For a greater purpose. To be a sin bearer. Those shepherds raising those lambs who someday people would bring into the temple to be worshipped for the covering of sin. Behold the Lamb of God, now Jesus, who would take away, not just cover it, take away the penalty so we might have a relationship with you and assurance of heaven. Thank you for the reminder of this precious Christmas story, the very first one. Thank you for using people. Thank you for using angels to carry out your plan. Thank you that you would use us even now to continue the truth of how to be made right with you. Oh, that we might take these moments in the next 24 hours to profess, to ponder, and praise you, for you are worthy. In your name I pray, amen. I am holding on.